Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. I hope that wherever and whatever you're doing out there, that you are safe and healthy and happy. And today, before I introduce you to our guest, I want to take a moment and thank you, of course, for tuning in whenever and wherever you might be tuning in from, and to thank our sponsors who make today's show possible, the people over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including executive search, retained search, and also payrolling services, as well as temporary services. So please do keep them in mind for all of your potential recruitment needs. Today is a wonderful guest. I'm very excited to have her with us during this particular time that everybody is going through, with millions of Americans being unemployed. We have Dr. Julia Ivey here with us today. Dr. Julia Ivey has a PhD in psych as well as a PhD in management, and is a strategy and international business executive professor and faculty director at Northeastern University. In addition to her academic work, she acts as an executive coach for those facing the What's Next challenge. Her new book is Crafting Your Edge for Today's Job Market, Using the Be Edge Method for Consulting Cases and Capstone Projects. Thanks so much for joining us here today, Dr. Ivey.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. So before we kind of dive into this new book and how timely it is for you to be releasing this book, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your history and how it was that this became your passion and how you came to write the book?
My background from psychology and from strategy, as you just mentioned. And I also was very much interested in case methods. So in psychology, I studied and I worked with a client on reflection of significant choices, and I learned how people made choices. And I found the big difference between people who own their own choices and people who believe that the choices kind of belong to somebody else, like employers who choose us, you know, like men who choose us, or women who choose us, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Especially in the job market, it's about like, okay, so I apply and then I'm waiting for this interview. I'm waiting somebody would pick me and invite for interview, etc. This was my first PhD on reflection of significant choices. Then I worked on cases, and I worked with many companies as a consultant, and I was writing cases about these companies. And I found, surprisingly, every time when I outreach them just for pure academic perspective to write the case for my own academic work, every time they offered me a job. Every single time they wanted me to consult them, to work for them, to stay with them, and we became friends. Even if we didn't know much each other before, and it stayed somewhere inside of me as one more puzzle. And finally, I did one more PhD in strategy and management, strategy and innovation. And I investigated strategic relationship in a low trust environment. And all the three pieces came together in one moment, just like, wait a minute, it's exactly what's going on. First of all, the person who makes the choice, that it's me who is going to define my space in the job market, me who is going to choose the employer I want to work with. These people would be ahead of the game just because they choose to be ahead of the game. However, then they have the problem how to connect to the employer of their choice. And now we come to this, my second PhD in strategy, is developing their social capital. So these two instruments of personal capital, of making yourself as the owner of my own life. And the second is a social capital of developing trust before asking for anything. This kind of came together, and I just needed instruments to make it happen, and case method came just right here. I just remembered how they offered me a job, and I decided, like, why wouldn't I teach others how to get exactly the same outcome as I had? So this is how BH came to the life. Mm. As an idea. Yeah. But then I also, you know, like when I worked for Northeastern, I launched the Make Your case writing competition, and I was overwhelmed with the feedback from my graduate students who just wanted to kind of to attach to the company of their choice. They did it just for writing the case for the competition. But again, miracle happened, and they all stayed in relationship with the companies. They work, you know, together to make their case about themselves and about the company.
So there are two really great things that I just got out of what you shared, Dr. Ivy. And one of those that I really want to go back and highlight is you said that one of the premises that you came across is that you should not ask for something until you first develop trust. Let's first play with that topic for a moment here. Tell me a little bit more about how you came to that conclusion and where you've seen it in the real world.
Absolutely. And this is what the whole strategy of strategic relationship is built on in a strategy. Let's just put ourselves on the shoes of employer, right? So you're employer, right. I'm employer, and we have 20 applications, and all of them are fine. All of them are wonderful. Each of these applicants have their bachelor degree, let's say, in finance, with a decent university, and they all apply to the same standard form. And I have 20 of them. How do I know who is the one? So in this case, all these 20 applicants is one of many. And usually it's not 20, usually it's 60. Usually it's like even more. And then we start to filter them through the filter of like, is it a little bit better school? Maybe not so good. Maybe this is a closer, maybe da, da, da. So how long is the experience and how long is this? But we still don't know these people. How we as employer really understand who is my match? It's almost like, you know, like you are buying clothes that you never tried, but then later you kind of just want to kind of make them as a tailored for you. You want somebody be one of one. And this is happens through relationship, right? Of course, somebody have connections easy, but these connections might be not, it's a good social connection, but maybe not good professional connection. So what we have, somebody who might be the best for my company on professional set, I don't know them, but somebody who I know, and or maybe they're children of my friends, or I know them, etc., they actually might be not the strongest choice for me from professional perspective. Both ways are not perfect. And we usually, it's exactly what we do. We hire somebody who we know, and maybe they're not the strongest choice, or we hire somebody through this machine of applications, et cetera, which is, again, very time-consuming. Then we have all interviews. When at the end of the day, it's a kind of like a game. And with my method, the person who decides that the person take initiative and they choose the company they really want to be with, and they start relationship with saying like, why I want to be with this company and I want to solve the challenges of this company. I want to, you know, be connected with the company. And they don't offer anything. They just say, I am, you know, Julia Ivy, or I am somebody Smith, and I am graduate from whatever university, and I am passionate about your company because this company is, and you share your passion about the company, and you have to do your homework. You have to, you know, something about the company. And then you just ask permission to tell the story of the company. And you say that I love solving challenges like this. I like solving puzzles like this. Would you please allow me to tell the story of the company I'm in love and trying to, you know, to kind of dig in deeper through like information about the company, about the market, about the industry, and just figure out how to solve the challenge what you guys working right now. And especially if it's a part of the capstone project, of the project in the university, the companies love helping students. If it's a part of recruitment agency, which kind of like I go through recruitment agency, could you please give me a chance to make this for my portfolio? But I also just want to do this for you. And you know, I'm an employer, I have 20 of them, and all of them want something from me. And only one somebody don't want anything from me, but they actually offer me something. And they didn't even ask. They didn't ask to give them a job or give them, you know, money. They don't ask. They just tell that they love me and they love my company. And they're actually very much interested in trying to solve the challenge which my company is interested them to try. And being back to COVID-19, you know, look at what's going on right now. So we are going to open economy very soon. You know, sooner or later, we are going to open, right? So it will happen. But the reality is that it will not be the same economy what was 3 months ago. It will be something different. We all learn how to do online. We all learn what works, what doesn't work. Something will be different. And the businesses will have to find and use some kind of ways to do their own, you know, what they did before, but in a different way. So this is exactly when we can have people who contact them through LinkedIn and through emails. I was surprised how often it works. That people from their own companies maybe, but from the lower position, or people who hopes to work for the company and just saying that, okay, that I'm, you know, like Julia Ivy, and I admire the company and, you know, like the way, but also my background is in finance, but I also passionate about, you know, web design. And I also love, you know, like I'm also interested in emerging economies. Three all this together, I think might be very useful for the company to find their own, you know, then you recalibrate their way of doing business. Would you please allow me to write the, to do together and make the case for your company? And it's all I'm asking for. Would you say no? Would you say no?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. I actually have a friend who's in a similar position to what you're suggesting, Dr. Ivy, and she found a company that she's extremely passionate about. And rather than submitting a traditional resume, she's offered to write a white paper or a marketing strategy for them before ever being given an offer, to show that she can provide value. So much like the case that you're suggesting, I think something that whether we're talking about a job interview or trying to land a new client, you always want to be looking for ways to provide value without asking for anything in return. And I think the thing that all of us need to watch out for in this time, it's very easy to fall into victimhood and desperation and say, I need a job. Give me any job. I'll take this job and I'll work hard because I need a paycheck. But to your point, that's not what an employer wants. An employer, yes, they may need somebody to do a specific task. But I think something that we're all learning out of this experience is how valuable our time is and what we do with that time. And so to your point, I think it's this very fine line of approaching a company not from a, here's my resume, you should hire me, I'm desperate, give me a paycheck, but shifting the mentality of here's the value ownership. I bring. Yeah, ownership. So tell me more about
value. Yeah. And I 300% what you just telling, like generate value, right? And this is the step number three. I still ask people before you kind of claim, before we claim that we can generate value, we just two more steps before. First, asking what is me and what kind of ownership I want to have for my own place in the market. What is my place I am crafting for myself? What am I good in and what I'm passionate about? And this is the whole chapters about this, like, what is my vision? Like, just close your eyes and ask, like, what is the place I want to be professionally? And choose this list of companies which you believe is best, you know, kind of match for you. And then you just, you will find totally different conversation tone. Instead of just applying for the job, you want to be like almost like a friendship, almost like a dating, you know, like you want to belong. And this is a step number one for you asking, like, what is my space? And I mentioned many times of multidimensional candidates because we're all multidimensional. We are not just finance. We are not just professor. We are not just radio host. We are finance plus we are very good in maybe sport. Plus, we are also very, very good, I don't know, maybe in online gaming. Or we also raised 3 children in homeschooling. And we know how to, you know, keep adolescents involved through virtual conversation. We are so much more than just one dimension. So this would be step number one, to define, to elucidate your core. Who am I? And take ownership for this. And what companies would be my choice? My choice. And put this list of the companies instead of just applying everywhere who are looking for people. And second step, just talk with these people and learn about the company before starting generating value. Because when we push them a little bit too fast, we sometimes sound immature and we sound amateur and we don't provide, you know, the conversation what these employers expecting us. So step number two is develop trust through telling the company story and through learning the company story. And then would be step number three, writing this white paper. Yes, and this is what the idea is.
Got it. Yeah, I think that one of my favorite books from many years ago was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And he had put forth a lot of these same theories over close to 100 years ago, that what if we provide the value first, but to your point, we can put the cart before the horse and we can try to solve a problem when we're not actually clear what the problem is. So like you said, you actually have to get curious, ask the questions, do the due diligence about the company. And that, I think, is the fine line, though. So, Dr. Ivy, how do you recommend to do that? Let's say that you have company ABC. And company ABC is the company that you're passionate about working for. You would love to work for company ABC. And so you do your research on them. Do you offer to provide value? How do you go about doing that, aside from just sending your resume? Do you reach out to one of the executives on LinkedIn? What is your theory on that?
Yeah. And again, in the book, you can find how to, you can find 3 different ways to outreach the company. The first is, you are absolutely right, to find the list of the company I'm passionate about. If I'm passionate about, I do my homework, right? It's just so much information right now available if we spend a little bit time to, you know, to find the information about the company. So second step, you're absolutely right, to outreach them. And now we have first the most direct way. I mean, LinkedIn is amazing. All other, you know, like Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. When somebody doesn't ask me for job, but just sharing that the passion of doing something, people do apply surprisingly well. However, if I know this exact company is my focus, I can use another approach. I can ask people who know people who know people, and then again connect these people without asking for the job, but offering to make a case. And this is exactly what we do. Yeah.
And if I may offer another suggestion, it's funny, there's a project that I have going on Mondays as well at noon Pacific Standard Time on Awake TV network. And that's something called the Coalition for Global Unity. And we have these world leaders, people from around the world who are participating in facilitating weekly meditations. And one of the funny things that I discovered when I was looking for people to invite to participate is that there's a website called rocketreach.co, rocketreach.co, and you can sign up for free, and I think you can have up to 10 free views. So let's say that maybe you really wanted to work for Amazon in an executive capacity. You can actually go on to Rocket Reach, put in Jeff Bezos' LinkedIn profile, and it will pull up Jeff Bezos' email, his personal email. I've had people respond to me from Rocket Reach who, you know, I say to them, you know what, I'm really passionate about having us all meditate around the globe once a week. Is this something you or somebody you know would be interested in? And through using this methodology, I've had people respond to me who I would otherwise never have had contact with.
Perfect. What can I say? Thank you so much. I already put it down.
It's really great.
One more way to outreach. Yes. Perfect. It's exactly perfect. And the only something what you can take template of like mentioning like in three lines. The first line, who are you? Second, why you choose this company, right? So why you contacted Space? And it should be something what you are passionate about before you even ask him to work them. Then line number three, you are curious about a particular challenge. You are like area of expertise. You are just interested in this. And then line number four, may I please, you know, would you be interested, etc. So this specific technology of step number one, step number two, step number three, step number four really works. And it's all telling us that we just have to share our passion of what we do and define our edge. You know, like right now in COVID, after COVID, you know, like universe, as I mentioned already, businesses will need to find the new ways of doing. And you might know already. Like, let's give examples. Like, for instance, I have, you know, like one of my former students has a degree in supply chain, but she also is from emerging economy. And she also lived in Alaska, in remote areas of Alaska. So she knows how to manage relationship in isolation. She knows it because she did it. But she also knows how to navigate a new form, like when the businesses all collapsed and you have to build something new. She can define your core as something unique. And when she outreached this, yes, Amazon CEO, and she shared her passion about Amazon, she also mentioned herself as a combination of these three abilities. And then she mentioned that I would love to investigate the issue of done, done, and done, etc.
I think that's brilliant, Dr. Ivy. And I think a good way to do this, because I know a lot of our listeners might be tuning in and thinking, well, gosh, I don't even have a bachelor's degree. What do I have that makes me special? And something I would invite people who are tuning in either now or in the future to play around with is you can go out to the people in your life, and I would recommend maybe asking old colleagues, bosses, friends, family members, what is my superpower? If you were to tell me, you know, what is my superpower, and then kind of collate a list of all those things that people say you're good at, and notice the things that people say over and over. Maybe it's that you're really good on the phone, or that you're really good at analyzing details. And to Dr. Ivy's point, if you are not perhaps aware of those salient things that really make you stand out as a candidate, go out there, ask the people in your life, what are the things that I'm good at? And then you can begin to craft a resume and begin to even look up companies that might be in alignment with that. Somebody who might be good at analytics is going to go for a different job than perhaps somebody who's good at sales, or maybe it's just going to be a different department within the same company. But it gives you a foundation of where to start looking.
Of course. And also, I would say the same people, don't be afraid to combine several superpowers. It's one of your strengths.
Yes, exactly.
That you are good in this, and this makes you unique, because there are many people who are good on phone, but you also are good in something else and something else. And now, if you are good on phone, but also you are good in cooking, but you are also in good in, you know, drawing, design, this makes you unique. There are not so many people who are good in one, two, and three all together. And this is what you, like, intersection of these three, you know, superpowers, as you say, like, in the middle would be special you. And then you ask this special you, you ask, like, hey, my special me, where do you, what kind of companies you want to work to make your special me happy, to fulfilled, and most like in home, like in the professional world. And then you look around and you would be surprised that the companies do exist. Let's do another example. I had Steve who worked in a kitchen, like in a restaurant, in a kind of lower position, like helping, not even sous chef, but he was like a helping to sous chef or prep for, you know, for the kitchen. So he did a little bit cooking there, and he was good in this. But he also was naturally good in web, you know, web stuff like internet and web design. And he tried, you know, tried to play with this. But what shocked me most, that he was also a very good, like almost like a champion or something in Lego, like what children do. I didn't even know that it exists. So the idea is, when he combined his one, two, and three in something in the middle, his idea was that it may be his own restaurant can do some kind of web page where people can, like almost Lego, make their own dishes, like combining uncombinable, you know, like something
what
maybe the chef.
That's amazing.
Yes,
I love that idea.
Just amazing. So he brought together his own Lego idea that you can combine anything what you want in any combination and make it actually kind of yours. And as long as these pieces stick together, right? And his web idea, and he was kind of like, you know, good in this. And of course, his understanding of this, you know, like what is going on the kitchen. So he offered this idea in his own restaurant, and he was like very much low in this restaurant, and it was a point for him to talk with a manager, you know. And this is how you come from the person, somebody who is back in the kitchen and who would never maybe meet this manager, with somebody who manages this would be talked, because you say that I'm passionate about this place and I am thinking how to bring more people on board through online, and would you please allow me to tell the story how we can do this? Yeah.
I love that. And it's funny because it makes me think of an idea I used to share with college graduates many years ago. This is how I made a lot of inlays with different contacts that I had. Let's say that you're looking to change careers, or perhaps you're new to the field because you're about to graduate. One of my favorite things to do is to reach out to people on LinkedIn and ask them for an informational interview for a blog or article that you're going to write. I personally have used this strategy with two white papers that I've written, where I've reached out to CEOs and high-level executives, and I just said, hey, I really admire your work. I know you've been considered an expert. You have 10 minutes to have a conversation with me for an article I'm going to write. And surprisingly, you can create whole new careers based on that. And then you can either write an article about it or a blog and set yourself up as an expert.
Oh my God, you just provide perfect example. I'm going to use this example.
Please,
it's exactly how my methods work. It's exactly what we do. Because let's think what we always read on Facebook, always. What you or me or everybody always read on Facebook or LinkedIn, what? Always.
I
never miss.
What do we always read on Facebook? Help, when
on
people want help.
Maybe, but there are many people asking for help. So again, what we always never miss, it's somebody replies to our own post. So whatever we write, people reply, we do read this, right? So we might agree,
true,
we might disagree, but we pay attention what people say about what we say. That's why when you outreach this person and say, I want to learn more about you, I don't ask you for anything. I just want to learn more about you. It's exactly what I call develop trust. You tell about him. You tell him his story. And only then telling his story, you might say like, oh, and this is what how we can solve the challenge what you are just working on. It's just like I happens to have like idea. And but after you develop trust, this person actually would listen. And you would become one of one, not one of many. This is the secret. You don't rush with your idea, but you first ask them to tell about him or just listen to him or just learn about them. And only then you say like, oh, for this particular challenge, I have the idea how to solve this.
Beautiful. And this is Tell me, Dr. Ivy, were there any other things that we didn't get to cover in the book today or any takeaways that you would love for our listeners for today's show?
Why BH? You know, like what is special about this method and what is, you know, differentiate it from others? It's about making. It's technology. It's not about I'm telling you, oh, be like just telling you, be owner of your life, find your way, find this one. No, my book is actually instructions. It's how-to instructions. This is a fill-in template. This is a coaching exercise. You do this exercise, and you have already the text, what you are going to send to, you know, basis and ask for doing something together. So this is about making, very, very specific. And I ask people, just if they try, they would be surprised how it works. It's technology. It's formula. And it keeps working and working. Second, it's about you. It's about you and your passion. You stop pleasing somebody else. You start pleasing you. This center of your many different interests and, you know, passions, what you find in the middle, and you ask that specific person of you in future, maybe, or you in past, or you beloved you, like what kind of company you want. And this is what you do. You are treating these people instead of treating somebody else. And the last one, case, is about storytelling. It's magical. Storytelling is magical because we love telling story and we're good in telling story. And we laugh at somebody who is telling my story. I'm already laughing at that person. You know, somebody who wants to, maybe me, I might be not exactly the, you know, like maybe I would be a little bit shy. But talk about my children, my baby, or please do. So their companies is their babies, right? This is, they might be personally not be willing to be in spot, you know, these owners of the companies, but their business is their children. And they put so much effort and love to their own children. And when somebody comes here and say, I am in love with this, and they saying what exactly they like about the company and how exactly they actually can learn more about the company, and then learning about the company, making the case, it means falling in love with something, something what I love. Like we become two parents of the same baby, and like what else I can ask for. So these three kind of pieces make it special. Like it's making, it's formula, please follow the formula and it works. It's you, beloved you, it's we stop pleasing somebody else. And it's about storytelling. And yeah, and you ask me about takeaway. Should I tell it right now or should I tell it later?
No, please. So tell people where they can find the book and where they can find information on all the great stuff that you're doing. I know that you have a lot of free giveaways and so forth on the website. So where would people go?
Yes, my website is be-edge.com, be-edge.com. And you can find all possible information on this website together with the link to the book. And it's all about, you know, making your case to shaping your space. And I think this is what I want people to feel, that they can make their case because they can shape their space and space belongs to them. That's it.
Oh, Dr. Ivy, this is so much fun. I love this. So be-edge.com. And the book, again, is called Crafting Your Edge for Today's Job Market.
B stands for boutique employability, because we are all boutique and we deserve our own boutique employability if we follow these four steps.
That's great. And I think we all deserve to be happy and joyous and, you know, and to be able to wake up every day and do what we love. I think this time space has given us all a greater opportunity to evaluate what actually matters to us, what brings us joy, what brings us happiness, and what do we want to spend the rest of our lives doing. So I think this is a very timely book, Dr. Ivy, and I'm so happy that you were able to join us today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been such a pleasure to have you on. And thank you so much to everybody who tuned in, whether you're tuning in now or in the future. I'm sure Dr. Ivy's information is still going to be extremely relevant. And do remember that you can also check in later in the week on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job. You'll be able to find the entire episode. And I invite you, please do feel free to give us any ratings, any feedback. That helps us to customize the show for whatever you might need. And we also share various articles on the Get Yourself the Job page on Facebook as well. Additionally, I do host two other shows on AwakeTVNetwork.live. On Saturdays at 11 a.m. Pacific time, you can find the Navigating with the Heart, Conversations for These Trying Times, episodes brought to you by the HeartMath Institute. We are now coming on to week 4 of a 5-part series, and you can find all of the other episodes that we've done thus far for free on the AwakeTVNetwork.live website. I would highly encourage anybody out there who wants to hear a very moving story to check out last week's episode. We interviewed frontline responders, some of the nurses who have been out there working in the hospitals, and their stories are so heartfelt, and the people on the show give really wonderful tools of how we can deal with our own stress and anxiety, whether we're a frontline worker or dealing with the stress of not having a job or not being happy in a job. I think that there are a lot of wonderful techniques that we can all use out there. And you can also tune in Mondays to our weekly meditation on AwakeTVNetwork.live. It's our Coalition for Global Unity Meditations. And if you want to find out about who our upcoming teachers are, you can go to coalition4globalunity.com and find a list of all of our upcoming teachers. We just had some people join us who are going to be facilitating meditations from India coming up in August. So we are so excited for this global event that's going on. And again, Dr. Ivy, I really enjoyed our conversation thoroughly. It's been such a pleasure to have you on today.
Thank you so much.
All right. Wishing everybody safety, health, and wellness. And to you too, Dr. Ivy. Thanks so much for tuning in.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.